Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 86, the stanzas 1 and 2. Let all the earth Jehovah fear, let all that dwell both far and near in awe before him stand. For lo, he spake and it was done, and all with sovereign power begun stood fast at his command. We mention to you Psalter 86, stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 16 through the end. We mentioned to you Matthew 6, but before we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing among us this evening. Let us pray together. Merciful, gracious, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast revealed thyself through thy word as that triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and through thy word thou hast also revealed that in thee, in a triune God, is complete salvation for complete lost sinners. And Lord, we have left thee never to return. And yet thou hast said in thy word, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. O teach us to pray. Lord, we confess by nature we enter into this world prayerless, and without thy grace we will leave this world prayerless. Oh, we beg thee then that thou would teach us to pray, and that we may come to know thee as that Father in heaven through thy dear Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may come to know that only comfort in life and in death, that I do not belong to myself, but that I belong unto thee, that faithful, that almighty Lord God of heaven and earth, and that I belong to that faithful Savior who gave himself, who gave his blood to pay for all my sins. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou knowest that poor and needy people who long to know, who long to have thy Spirit witness with their spirit, that they do not belong to themselves anymore, but that they belong unto thee, that they may be reconciled with that holy, almighty God of heaven and earth, against whom they have sinned, but in whom thou hast poured love in their heart, that they love thee, long for thee, hunger and thirst for thee. But Lord, they need to be taught by thee, by thy grace, by thy Spirit, of that only way through thy Son. O wilt thou then give that faith not only to believe who we are, as thy word testifies, sin and iniquity, transgressions, ungodly, wicked, and vile, but also give that faith, that true saving faith that is taught to look outside of self, to look up unto thee, and to look unto that only Savior who calls, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. O, we beg thee, Lord, through thy word and Spirit, wilt thou draw sinners with the cords of love unto thyself, and that they may be given those eyes of faith to look upon that only Savior. O, wilt thou reveal him through thy word, and that they may see him by faith, that they may embrace him, and have that true joy that is only in thee and through thy Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we beg thee that thy dear people, those little lambs and the sheep, may learn to look up unto thee, from whom cometh all their help. And in thee alone is all their help for all their needs, for their bodies and their souls. O, wilt thou then give, that we may be looking away from everything else and unto thee alone, and that we may be given to trust in thy fatherly hand. O, we beg thee for those who do not know thee at all. They live out of thy hand as their creator, but they do not know thee. They do not hunger for thee. There's no thirst for thee to know thee as that one, as that Father in heaven. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would awaken them, prick them in their heart, work mightily with thy Holy Spirit, and that they would be convicted of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they believe not in thee, and of that only way of salvation through thy Son. Lord, we ask thee to remember those who have been awakened, but who are wondering, is it the Lord's grace in my life, Do we belong to him and to him alone? O, wilt thou come then with thy Spirit and through thy word bless it and witness with their spirit? We pray and ask thee those who may confess thy name, but maybe on false grounds. O, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would awaken them before it is forever too late. Remember those who continue to harden their heart, even though they hear with the ear of thy voice, of thy word, seek me, forsake sin, and return unto me. O, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would conquer their hearts. Thou art an almighty God. Thou can conquer the hardest heart, those that are dead in sins and trespasses, who know the doctrines in their mind, but live according to their own heart. O, have mercy, Lord. Work powerfully, irresistibly, for their never-dying soul, for thy honor, for thy glory. Remember all thy dear people, Lord. Give that they may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of that only Savior, thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will be a way of decreasing in self, of being stripped of everything painful for our flesh, but a blessing for our soul, and at the same time learning of him, that he would increase, in the necessity, but also in his suitability, and that he may become more and more precious, that their hearts may be drawn unto him, to live for him, to follow him, to take up all their crosses, and to surrender, and to follow him, and him alone. O Lord, we need thy grace of renewal, but we need thy daily grace to live for thee. We need thy Spirit not only to renew us, but to daily blow in our hearts, to kindle that flame of love for thee, that hatred for sin, that we may be in the world, but not of the world. O, we beg thee, Lord, then come among us. Each time is a new time, and without thee we can do nothing. We cannot hear, we cannot understand, we will not receive, we will only resist. Oh, take away then all the weapons of resistance against thee, and give hearts of flesh, new hearts, hearts that begin to hunger and thirst for thee, hearts that begin to see that all things come from thy hand, but also experience thy hand in their lives. Lord, remember all those who are mourning, comfort them. Remember the widows. Lord, thou hast promised in thy word that thou would especially be near unto them. May they experience that, Lord. Help them, uphold them, care for them, comfort them. We pray and ask thee that thou would remember the persecuted church. Lord, we have such a great privilege that we may come to thy house unhindered, but may it not testify against us. But remember then also thy church upon this earth who suffer for thy name's sake. Lord, uphold them, strengthen them. Remember the government that thou hast placed over us, the prime minister and all those federally, provincially, and locally who have the responsibility given by thee to rule and to govern this nation. May we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, and that they must begin each day on their knees before thee, needing wisdom, and that thy word may be a light upon their pathway. Lord, we beg and ask thee to bless all mission work throughout this world among Jew and Gentile. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember thy covenant people. Thou hast promised that there will come a time that that veil would be taken away from their eyes, and that they may see that thy word that testifies of Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Lord, remember them in thy mercy. Fulfill thy own promise for thy honor, for thy glory, and for their eternal salvation. But remember also, wherever thy word may be brought throughout the nations, Bless it richly, Lord, and thou hast promised that thy kingdom will come, that they will be gathered in from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south. There'll be one fold, one people under one shepherd. And oh, may we also with our children belong to that blessed people, Lord, also among us, that thou would gather, and that there may be many to come to know thee, to worship thee with heart and mouth. Bless thy word also in Bolivia. Help thy servant there, Pastor Marco, and all thy servants. Remember the elders and the deacons there. Care for them. Remember each church in Loma Alta, in Cayabazan, but also the posts in Luján and in Tarija. Help the church workers and their families. Give them faithfulness. Give them a heart to work faithfully for thy honor and for thy glory. And remember the Bolivian people. Lord, work mightily, irresistibly, and that many may be born again by the power of the Holy Spirit and come to know, to worship, and adore thee, and that only name given among men whereby we must be saved, that precious name, that name above all names, the name of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask thee that thou would remember also in our families. Give love and faithfulness between husbands and wives. Help us as parents to instruct our children to the utmost of our power in the truths of thy word, and bless it richly. Give fathers to be faithful in their home as prophets, priests, and kings. And give children ears to hear and attentiveness. And that thou would bless also thy precious word, the means of grace, in our homes. Lord, may we ask thee to remember those also who have occupations that they put themselves in danger every day. We think then especially of policemen, of firefighters, of those who also have this occupation among us. Care for them, keep them, guide them, and protect them. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would remember also all the meetings in this week. Remember the mission board. Lord, guide them, lead them by thy word and spirit. Give them wisdom, Lord. Help them in all the decisions, and that it all may be done to thy honor, to thy glory, and according to thy will. And may we beg thee again, Lord, remember the curatorium who will meet in this week. Lord, guide the men by thy spirit. And at the end of this week, that we may rejoice in thy work, in thy mercy unto us, unworthy sinners. Oh, may we hear that men have been received into the theological school, and that they may at thy time also be sent out as ambassadors. Lord, have mercy upon us. Help us, Lord. Lead us, guide us by thy word and spirit. And so may we lay all these needs before thee. Remember those who have hidden crosses. Maybe no one knows, but thou knowest. Care for them, Lord, and give that what they need. Teach them, help them. And so, Lord, we beg, wilt thou give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, and a blessing upon thy word. Apply it. Give hearing ears, understanding minds, and open hearts, that sinners would be born again, and that thy people would be edified. Oh, we beg it and ask it, Lord. We have nothing to plead upon. We confess we're sinful, we're wretched, we're filthy, we're polluted. We transgress all thy commandments, but we beg thee and ask thee for thy name, for thy honor, and may we ask it because of him who sits at thy right hand in the name of thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this evening's worship service with singing from Psalter 427, the first three stanzas. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness. For most compassionate is he. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. Let Israel praise Jehovah's goodness and say, exalt his majesty. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. 427, the first three stanzas. In the meantime, your gifts will be received. The first collection is for the church, and the second for the Bethany Care Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, I remember as a little boy seeing my father's strong hands, and it gave me comfort. Why? Because I trusted that with his hand, he would guide me, he would protect me, and he'd provide everything that I need. Seeing my father's strong hands made me feel safe. It was a comfort. And I experienced by the hand of my father, by way of his daily care, also his discipline when needed. But I especially remember holding my father's strong hand as a little boy. It was a comfort. For God's children, the hand of God, their Father, is a comfort. To see his hand, to feel his hand, and to hold his hand, that he holds them and they hold him. God's hand is a symbol of God's providence. Listen to two texts. Acts 4, verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And we read in Psalm 73, verse 23, thou hast holden me by my right hand. Congregation, we all live out of the hand of God, because he is our creator. And without him, we can do nothing. So all of us live out of the hand of God, the creator. But there's a people, by God's grace, who long to know him as their father. To be in the hand of God the Father, that's a rich comfort. And little lambs, little sheep, listen. We'll read again what we read, which the Lord Jesus Christ said. How you are to live in this life. Matthew 6, verse 30 through the end. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. So there the Lord instructs his little lambs and sheep of how to live, depending upon him, giving examples from nature. And so tonight, with the Lord's help, it's about God's providence. Let us first read now Lord's Day 10, question and answer 27 and 28. And you can find it in your Psalter on page 38. Lord's Day 10, question and answer 27 and 28. What dost thou mean by the providence of God? The almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. What advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence does still uphold all things? That we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand, that without his will they cannot so much as move. And so we hear three times of God's hand, of his hand. And so our theme tonight is faith in God's providence. Faith in God's providence. The hand of God the Father. And two thoughts. First, to see the Father's hand. Do you see it, congregation? Do you see that you live out of the Creator's hand? But do you also have you come to see it's the Father's hand? What a wonder. To see the Father's hand. Second, to experience the Father's hand. Not only the Creator, but the Father's hand through the merits of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So faith in God's providence, the hand of God the Father, to see the Father's hand and to experience the Father's hand. So with the help of the Lord, our first thought, seeing the Father's hand. God's providence speaks as a symbol. It's God's hand. Remember the first article of the Confession of Faith? I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth. This is a confession of true and saving faith. It's a confession of a child of God. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth. He confesses faith in God, the almighty creator. In this confession, we hear a confession of a child's trust in his Father. And in that explanation, we heard three times of the Father's hand. Last week, we considered as God the Father. Every little lamb, every sheep, everyone who is a recipient of God's grace, everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the same Father as Jesus Christ. They have an almighty creator and they have a faithful provider. And they begin to see this. They begin in their life to see it, and hopefully more and more. How do they see? All things come not by chance. No, we don't believe in chance. There's no such thing as chance. All things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. I think of Abraham, remember? We talked a little bit of last week. Abraham saw that all things came from God the Father's hand. He saw it by faith. No, he didn't literally see a hand, children, but he saw by faith that God's hand would provide. He had to sacrifice his son Isaac. And then we read in Genesis 22, verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God's providence, God's provision. What does this mean? Well, after God created all things, he also cares for all things. He didn't leave the universe, all those planets, everything on the earth, all nature, all animals, all people, just to itself, to function on its own. No. God cares for everything. He is above it all. His providence is above everything. From the moment that God the Father finished creating everything, he cares for it. He watches over it. He provides everything. God's providence is God's provision. God providing for us everything, children. Everything you need, everything you have, all your whole life. It's all in God's hand. This doctrine is precious. When you may begin to see it, that you may begin to see it, that God is control in every little detail. To know it, to trust it, to believe in it. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can come to know the Creator as God the Father. But to see that everything in your life comes from the hand of God the Father, what a wonder. God the Father is active. He's active. Jesus Christ himself said in John 5, verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Yes, God the Father is working. He's guiding. He's protecting. He's providing everything in his providence. What does God's providence include? Some things or all things? It includes everything. It extends to everybody on this whole planet and everything in the whole universe. It's because those planets don't collide. It's by God's providence, His keeping hand. It extends to everyone. Yes, to unbelievers and believers, to the good and to the wicked, to the goats and to the sheep. And this overall goodness of God over all the creation is called what? God's common grace unto all people. You receive God's common grace every day from the hand of God the Creator. Yes, also unbelievers, the wicked. What do we read? What did the Lord Jesus say in Matthew 5, verse 45? For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God's goodness, God's providing hand, God's providence. What else does God's providence include? Does it also include the animals' children? Yes. Because we read in Psalm 104, verse 14, He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that He may bring forth food out of the earth. And so God's providence, His hand extends over all things. And though in the Bible we do not read particularly the word of God's providence as we understand it in theology, it's referred to God's reign, God's counsel, God's care, God's upholding hand, God's wonderful work. But especially God's providence is referred to His hand. His hand. We read in Acts 4, verse 28, For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. God's providence. It's over all things. It's His hand guiding everything in your life and in my life. It's His keeping hand. It's His controlling hand. It's His directing hand. Everything in heaven and on earth, God controls. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing. Children, does God have a hand, teenagers? Does God have a hand? You say God is a spirit. That's right. And yet God inspired men to write that He has a heart, He has eyes, He has ears, and He has a hand. Why? That's for our understanding, to see, to know who He is. A father works with his hands to provide, to care for his family. Well, God the Father, God the Creator, He works with His hands in providence. And we all know this. We all confess this. I don't think any of us would dare say, I believe things happen by chance. We know the facts of this with historical faith. We know the facts. But where has it led you? Where does it lead me? What's the purpose that you see God's providence in everything? God's providence over all things. In Acts 17, in verse 26, we hear of God's providence. And then we hear of the purpose that you would see it. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him. The Lord wants you to see everything is in His providence. So what? So that you would seek the Lord. And that if haply they might feel after Him and find Him. Find Him. Has God's providence led you to seek Him? Have you begun to feel after Him? Have you found Him, that Almighty God? Is it a comfort for you, or is it a discomfort? Children, teenagers, adults, is it a discomfort that God's providence is over everything? He's guiding all things, keeping all things. Would you like to have things in your hands? Or is it a comfort? God controls all things. And we read of the hand, a hand in the Bible many times. It's a symbol of power, of might. I think of what we read in Exodus 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he shall let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Pharaoh, that monarch, had a strong hand, but who has a mightier hand? The Almighty God of heaven and of earth, because it was his hand that delivered his people out of Egypt. It's his hand that comes in the life of a sinner and delivers him out of the bondage of sin. It's his mighty hand. Have you seen it? Have you felt his hand in your life? And I think over 250 times in the Bible we can read of the word hand. But especially speaks about God's powerful, loving, guiding, caring providence. Listen to the following verses, please, from the Word of God. Exodus 15, verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Or what the poet said in Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. Have you seen it? That there's victory in through his way, by his hand. He has provided his son. He has provided salvation. Yes, that's also included in God's providence. His provision for wretched sinners, salvation, victory. Victory over death and hell, over the enemy, through his son, Jesus Christ. And one more verse, Psalm 118, verse 16. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. And so God's hand is a symbol of his power, of his providence, and everything. God's almighty hand controls all the events of this whole world. No, not the prime minister in Canada, not the president of the United States, not the king or queen. No, God. God, the almighty father of heaven and earth. He governs all things and controls all things to fulfill his counsel, to fulfill his eternal decree. What dost thou mean by the providence of God? The almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven and earth and all creatures. So God's providence. God governs over all things. And now a few hard words, children, but I hope to explain it. In theology, we divide the acts of God's providence in three things. His preservation, cooperation, and government. I will explain that. What does it mean? Well, first, God the Father preserves. He keeps, he maintains, he holds. Your life is in God's hand, that your heart still beats. That your lungs still pumps, children. That you still have brain waves. It's all in God's hand. God preserves life of every animal, of every human being on this whole earth. And we read in Acts 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Every second of your life and my life is in the hand of God. Children, God keeps you. You woke up this morning because God kept your life. Older ones, you're still alive because God keeps your life. God created you. God saw you in the womb of your mother when you were formed. God made you a miracle in conception. And God preserves you from that very moment until his time that he will call you out of this life. You cannot do anything. I cannot do anything. We cannot take one breath. We cannot have one heartbeat, one brainwave without the caring, providing, preserving, keeping hand of God. And he will call us out of this life at his time. May I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for that moment? Do you see it? That God is keeping you alive? What a wonder, what mercy. But you, children of God, little lambs, sheep, do you see it? Do you see God also holds your life in his hand? Do you see it? That Father in heaven, that faithful shepherd, he keeps your life in his hands every moment. He keeps it. You can't keep it at all. You can't give it up because he takes it, but you also can't keep it. Do you see it? Do you believe it? Do you live with this? Do I live with this? That God preserves my life? Has it become a comfort? Do you know it? Do you live with this? Do you fear? You see all kinds of things on the horizon. Maybe a multitude of different things. Does it cause you to fear, Church of God? Should you? Listen to what we read in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, to be in the hand of God the Father, to see it, to live with that. That's a comfort. But what does it mean by the right hand of my righteousness? That speaks of God's justice. God exercises his justice upon the wicked. He will punish them. But God will keep and defend and preserve his beloved people. He will care for them. He will keep them. He will bring them into that eternal glory. So that's the first. God preserves. God keeps you, children. Yeah? Second, God the Father, by his power, everything he causes to cooperate with his will. Can you get someone to cooperate with your will? Well, as a parent, you know your children, you tell them to do things and they don't cooperate. If they don't want to do it, they just won't do it. It's not good. But you can't move their will to obey and to listen and to have them cooperate. It's impossible. Teachers, you understand it in school. But God, everything cooperates according to his will. Maybe you're wondering, what does this mean, that things cooperate? It's God's almighty power that rules over all things. So all the decisions that you make, everything you do and you don't do, it all coincides. It all cooperates with God's will. It's a mystery, but God works over it all to fulfill his eternal decree. It's a mystery, but it becomes a wonder. It becomes a point of adoration that God is in control. And God is never the author of sin. No, no. God is not the author of sin. And yet, all things cooperate according to his eternal will. Maybe you say, well, that makes us like robots. We just have to follow the will of God. No. Man acts according to his own will. He sins following the will of his own wicked heart. He does this voluntarily. He does this willingly. And yet, through it all, it cooperates. It coincides with God's eternal will, fulfilling also sin. It's a mystery. And maybe you say, this is so hard to understand. I will try to give you an example by some Bible stories. Remember Judas? Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas did this willingly. It was his wicked heart. He followed his own wicked desires. And yet, we read in the Word of God that it was predetermined that one of his disciples would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. So Judas did it with his evil intent. And God ruled over it all that the Lord Jesus would be betrayed by one of the disciples. Judas, with his sin, cooperated and fulfilled the eternal counsel of God. But now another history. Joseph, children, you remember Joseph? Joseph, what happened to Joseph? His brothers sold him as a slave. They did it out of envy, wickedness. It was evil. It was sinful. But their action fulfilled the eternal plan of God. They did it for evil, but God meant it for good. The brothers' actions, their sinful actions of their wicked hearts, fulfilled the counsel of God, his providence. And how did Joseph act in this? What did Joseph see? What did he look to?
He looked above all that evil. He looked high. He looked up. He looked, can I say it, to the hand of his Father in heaven, that he was in control. Even in all this wickedness, in this grief and sorrow, imagine your brother selling you as a slave on the market and leaving your home and be brought to a foreign country. But Joseph, we read in Genesis 50, verse 20, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But, Joseph said, God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Oh, to see whatever comes upon us, that we can see and trust that God is in control. To look above it all, and little lambs, little sheep, to look up, and all the suffering, and all the afflictions, and all the crosses, and all the sorrows, to see. Even when people may be so wrong against you with such evil, wicked acts, to see yet, to look above it all, and to see God is in control. That's a comfort. So, preservation, cooperation. And thirdly, God governs over everything. God governs. He controls. With his almighty power, he controls everything in this whole universe. And it has one purpose. One purpose. And that is that his kingdom come. That sinners are born again and enter into the kingdom, translated from the power of darkness into the marvelous light of the kingdom of his dear Son. He governs. He controls. He seeks. He saves. It's all about him. It's all about his glory. It's all about his honor. It's all about his kingdom. And he rules now through his exalted Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the Almighty God. He holds the whole universe, this whole earth. Yes, everything in his hand. Everything, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Oh, to see it. Not only to see that he's the creator, but especially to see his hand as God that Father through his Son. Then we need grace upon grace upon grace. What lessons we need to learn to actually truly begin to come to this place. And we know that through the catechism, where we're at now in deliverance, we learned how he became lost. By God's law, he sought his misery. And we see how all the other ways were shut off and closed. And how he came to know there's only one way. And now he expresses his faith. Expresses his faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth. May I ask you, do you see God's hand in your life, that you're living, that he keeps you, that every little crumb of bread, every drink of water you receive from him, do you see it? Do you confess it? But are you yet living without him? And children of God, little lambs, sheep, how are you living? Do you see? Do you see it? Not only understand it with your mind a little, but do you see it? Do you live? That everything comes from the hand of God. Everything. Do you fear sometimes? Do you tremble? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 29 and 31, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father?" He says, look at the birds. Not even a bird. A bird doesn't have a soul. A bird will not fall to the ground without the Father's will. And then the Lord Jesus continued, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more value than many sparrows." He exhorts to look to that hand of God. And so must we not confess, you, congregation, who are only living out of the hand of the Creator, must you not confess, "Lord, open my eyes, that I may see it, that I may feel it, that I would seek after thee and happily feel and find thee." And church of God, Must we not also ask the Lord and beg, open my eyes every day to see it, that it may give peace, that it may give trust, that it may bring me at thy throne, bowing in adoration of thy fatherly hand? Unbelief, what is it? It's ignoring, confessing with the head, but it's ignoring the hand of God. And faith, it begins to see everything from the hand of God. To see God's hand, that's a blessing, congregation. That's a blessing. To see it comes from it, but then to experience it, to feel it, to experience it. And that's our second thought. But let us first sing now from Psalter 80. Psalter 80, stanzas 1, 2, and 9 standing. Psalter 80, 1, 2, and 9. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. I call upon thy name. O save me in thy righteousness, nor let me suffer shame. Psalter 80, stanzas 1, 2, and 9. Children, do you like to see your father's hand? Does it make you feel safe, comfortable? Do you like to see that strong hand of your father? But do you also want to feel that warm, strong hand of your father? Do you want to hold his hand? It's sweet when a little child reaches up and takes his father's hand and says, Daddy, lead me, care for me. Well, God causes sinners to see his hand, But also they will feel his hand. They will experience his hand in many different ways, in all different circumstances of their life, of good times and of bad times. All things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. To feel or experience God's hand in prosperity, and to be thankful, we need grace. Because by nature, we will only give credit to ourselves. So in prosperity, we need grace that it would bring us to be thankful unto him. And to feel or experience God's hand in adversity. And to be patient. To be patient, we need grace. We need grace upon grace upon grace to live under the hand of God's providence. It's one thing to trust God when we receive good things. Things that agree with our flesh. Oh, then it's easy. We can thank the Lord and say, the Lord has provided. The Lord has given. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then when things come, yes, also from his hand, things that our flesh do not agree with, that's painful, then we need grace to be patient. To be patient. Is death and sickness from God's hand? Yes. Is health from his hand? Yes. Are financial troubles from his hand? Yes. Is riches and wealth from his hand? Yes. Are trials and afflictions in the body, in the mind from his hand? Yes. Are good crops, bad crops from his hand? Yes. Is the measles from God's hand? Yes. Everything. Everything that you experience is from his hand. Experiencing the hand of God. Sinners experience it. What do they feel like? What does a sinner feel like that's convicted by his sin? How does he express it? David felt from his sins and his iniquities and transgressions. He felt the hand of God. What did he say? Thy hand presseth me sore. David felt it. He felt it. The hand of God was pressing him sore. What about Naomi? Remember, she came to Moab, her husband, two sons, and she had to go back as a widow, childless. She felt it was from the hand of God. She experienced in her life the hand of God. And she said, the hand of God has gone out against me. She felt it. And you and I, we experience many different things in our life. And what happens? Out of our wicked, sinful hearts, we begin to ask, why, Lord? Why this? Why that? Why? Why am I sick and others so healthy? Why do I struggle with so many mental difficulties and others have such healthy minds? Why, Lord? Why do I have so many financial problems? And others are wealthy. Why do I have so many problems in my family? So many sorrows, so many crosses, so many afflictions. And others seem, they just prosper and it all seems to go good. Why do I have no children? And others, they have 6 or 8 or 10. Why? Understand this? Is this your heart? Asaph understood it. A child of God, he also understood it. He had so many whys. Why? He saw the prosperity of the wicked. He saw them just prospering. And he said in Psalm 73, verse 2 and 3, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He saw it. He didn't understand it. Why does it all go good for the wicked and I'm suffering? What did Asaph experience? He experienced this in his heart. And I'm thankful that Psalm 73 is in the Word of God because it's honest. He shows also the depravity, the wickedness, the sinfulness that clings to the flesh of God's own dear people that should be looking above it all and seeing his hand. Asaph had to be brought to the right place. And he was brought into the sanctuary. He was brought into the sanctuary, and then he saw it again. He came into church, so to speak. He heard through the word of their end. But he felt something also so beautiful that gave him so peace. What did he experience? He experienced what we read in Psalm 73, verse 22 and 23. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Are there beasts here tonight? Wondering why this, why that? And you have to say, I'm just a beast. I should be bowing in the dust, surrendering and confessing I'm unworthy of any of the least of his blessings. That there should be no whys in my heart. The only question should be, why am I still in the land of the living? Why am I not cast off? But then also verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. But I missed a verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. He came to that place that he saw it was God's hand holding him. That gave him peace. That was the experience of his heart. Through all that struggle and all that sin and all that wickedness, he was brought to the place we experience God's in control. But he experienced also that God was holding him with his hand. What a blessing. And then I think in Hebrews 12. Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews 12. Because they also don't only feel because of their sin, they also feel the discipline of God. God deals with sinners. He deals with them as a father deals with their children, and he disciplines them. Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I need to discipline my children. I don't discipline the neighbor's children. No, they're not my children. God disciplines his children. And then we read in verse 7 and 8, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. May I ask you, would you love to just live in prosperity and everything goes good, and you never ever feel the discipline, the correction of God the Father, which you and I need daily? Or would you rather suffer in this world and feel his discipline, that you may have his favor? What would you love? Just all prosperity and peace? Or do you long for his favor? And then you understand that what God does in your life, in my life, it's only a little touch. Yes, congregation, it's only a little touch. It's a touch compared to what we deserve because of all our sins. And we need grace to surrender. Grace to his ways. Grace to his fatherly hand that also disciplines us. Lambs, sheep, your father loves you. He doesn't just leave you. He sees you going astray. He needs discipline. He sees you're wrong there. You need to be corrected there. And he disciplines. It's his goodness. It's his faithfulness. We are not to complain, but to surrender. To surrender to his fatherly hand. Because this is the way of peace. Paul knew this. Paul knew this. And listen to what he wrote in Romans 5, verse 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Those poor wretched sinners, long for his favor. They don't want to be left alone. They surrender and they long that God would speak, that God would have dealings with them, because not to feel his hand at all and left alone, then they wonder, what is it? Where is the Lord? But they long also to feel his hand holding them, comforting, but also to discipline them. God's children experience good and bad. The good to bring them to be thankful unto him, and bad to cause them to be patient. And what is an example in the Bible of one who experienced such rich blessings, but such deep ways of absolute unspeakable suffering? Then I think of Job. He lost everything. And he lost all his children. All of them. All of it. In a short time. And what did Job say? Remember his wife? She said, curse God and die. What did Job say? What do we read in Job 2 verse 10? But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we not receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? He saw everything, good and evil. He surrendered to the hand of God. And remember, affliction is also not only profitable, but is beneficial for God's children. Why? David knew this. There was a hand of God afflicting him, correcting him. And he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God does this in his providence, dealing with his dear people, the sheep and the lambs, to guide them, to lead them, to correct them. A child of God feels the hand of God in poverty and in prosperity. It's from his hand. Faith sees that the crosses come from the Father. It comes from the Father. It doesn't come by chance, but it comes from him. And they see that all the blessings, undeserved blessings, come unto them from him. And this is a comfort. A comfort. Could you imagine if it all came by chance? What comfort would that be? There would be no comfort. But there's comfort that it comes from him. And God, with his fatherly hand, guides them, leads them, controls them, directs them, comforts them, disciplines them, all for one purpose, to bring them home into glory. And we need grace upon grace upon grace to live in times of prosperity, but also to live in times of adversity. Oh, that we would learn the prayer of Agur, a beautiful prayer. Listen, Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. And so we come to the end. God's hand in his providence. How is it in your life, church of God, little lambs, sheep? Do you see it? Are your eyes opened every day to see that you live out of his hand? It's a blessing to see it. Do you see his hand in adversity? Do you see it, or do you blame it on all other exterior circumstances? How do you respond? How do I respond? Do we respond in patience? Do we bow? Do we bow and say, Lord, all that thou doest is good? Do we bow? David knew that all his times were in thy hand. David knew that. That gave him peace. And all his troubles, and all his afflictions, and all his deep sorrow and grief, he could say. And that gave David comfort. My times are in thy hand. Do you see it, children of God? That your time is in his hands. And unconverted friends, you who may confess God's providence, it cares for all things, you live out of his hand as a creator. Without him, you cannot live. And you confess it. But are you living like an animal? You say, what? Yes, an animal. Animals acknowledge their owners. We read this in Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1 verse 3. And the Lord had a complaint against his people. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. May I ask this with all the love of my heart? Are you living worse than an animal? Animals receive out of the owner's hand, and they acknowledge the owner. But you live because of the Creator's hand. And do you only live ignoring him? This pains God so deeply. He sees you. He made you. He holds your life. He provides everything for your body. And he gives you his word. He gives you the gospel. He proclaims life through Jesus Christ. And he sees you worse than an animal, only ignoring him. May you repent. And what a wonder. He's thinking about hands. His hands, we read in the word of God, are still stretched out. Still stretched out to such rebellious ignorers of him. What a wonder. May it break your heart. And may it bring you to seek him, to forsake sin, to repent, and to return unto him. And that you may experience by his grace that he draws you, that you come and you find through his hands the abundance of mercy and grace through Jesus Christ and children of God, that we may learn to live like little children. What's beautiful about little children? They look up to their father. They trust him. They trust his hand. They like to see his hand. They trust his hand, that he cares for them, guides them, protects them. They want to hold his hand. Be like a little child. Church of God, little lamb sheep, trust in that hand. May I say it, live holding his hand day by day, because that's a hand, that's a life of peace. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, that you may see his almighty hand that cares for you, provides for you. But may you also see that hand that provided his own dear beloved son for wretched sinners, that you may see it all comes through his hand. That if he had begun that good work in you, then he will keep you to see that you belong in the hands of that faithful Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, those that are in my hand, none shall pluck them out. He will keep them. And he said, they're in my Father's hand. That's a place of security. That's a place of peace. And that hand will hold on and bring to glory. Oh, may we live confessing, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and that we may see his hand, experience his hand, trust his hand, and live holding that hand. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, by nature we do not see thy hand, or we confess thy hand, but do not need thy hand. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that dead sinners may become alive and long to feel that hand, to see that hand, to trust in that hand, and to hold that hand. Lord, remember us in this week. We pray that thou would help the elders the coming Lord's Day to lead the services, guide them a word to speak, and bless it here in the congregation. Remember all those who are traveling, and we specially ask thee to remember our brother elder Chris Klopp and his family as they go to the Netherlands for a few weeks. Keep them, guide them, and protect them by thy hand, Lord, and bring them back again here, and that again he may be among us with his family. Have mercy on us, Lord, and prepare us to meet thee. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 204. Psalter 204, all four stanzas. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I grope in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer
all was made plain. 204, all four stanzas.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.